This episode of Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels. You know, here at Loco, we love the month of March because it's Los Bagels' birthday month, which means they have awesome deals on food and drinks all month long. This year, Los Bagels is thanking the community for 37 years of support by offering baker's dozens for just $6, small coffees for $1, and daily food specials for $3.70. So visit Los Bagels for their special March deals at 403 2nd Street in Eureka and 1061 I Street in Arcata. It's Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost Good Enough podcast. Good enough to be on. You're listening to it. I'm Stephanie McGarry.
My name's Andrew Goff. And yeah, we are friends that you can have in Humboldt, and we will not breathe on you. We will not breathe any COVID germs in your direction because we're nice like that.
Yeah. And if you like us, you want to get this this podcast every week, you know, you can now subscribe to it on iTunes, unless that's what you have already done and you're listening to it that way. If that's the case, disregard this message. If you clicked on it on the website, maybe consider this other method of getting it by going to iTunes and subscribing.
If you do subscribe, you can scroll through all of our past guests. So this might be our 40th episode of these. So yeah, we've had local musicians, people in Humboldt. You'll see a name. You'll be like, I've heard of that person. I want to know what they sound like. I want to know what the experience of that person is. Well, that's just one of the services that we provide here at Humboldt Holding Up.
Also, you know, this growing podcast is always looking for sponsors. If you're interested in advertising on Humboldt Holding Up, that's a thing you could do if you give us money for it. So just email advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com to find out more details on that. Mm-hmm. Now, on to the guest. I was going to say it.
You said it with such authority. I thought you were going to keep going.
on to the guest.
Today on the show, you know, in Blue Lake, they have a church. It's called the Lager Bar. And the lead pastor of said church is one, Kate Martin. She has owned the Lager Bar for 8.5 years, we find out. As you can imagine, during COVID, the Lager Bar has been a place to not be. So we are going to ask her about what it's been like to have a lagerless year. So without further ado, what do you say? We get her in here. Kate.
Hello.
There we go.
Okay. Well, I'll say first, Kate Martin, thank you for joining us here on our little podcast thing that we've been doing throughout the pandemic. Is this your first podcast?
It is my first podcast. I love listening to them, but it's my first time on them.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, we want to get into, you know, all the weirdness of this last year, a period that Humboldt had to somehow endure without the comforts of the lager. But something we like to do on this show is to get people's personal Humboldt stories, your Humboldt arc, we sometimes say. So I'll put it to you, Kate. Where did you come from, for starters?
Originally from Brooklyn, New York, and spent my formative years in Jersey. And I got out to the West Coast via University of Oregon for graduate school.
Okay.
And then moved up to San Juan Island, then Seattle, then Bellingham, Washington, and then moved here to Humboldt County to be closer to my sister.
And how is it that you ended up as the steward of Blue Lake's most beloved institution?
Well, I lived around the corner from it for many years and literally begged the owner repeatedly for over a decade until he finally relented and sold it to me.
Wow.
So are you saying that you were like a lager bar regular and you fell in love with the place?
Yes. And I used to sit at the bar and be like, when I own this place, the bathrooms will be clean. When I own this place, you won't have to wait for a drink. When I own this place, I'm going to do this to the bar, you know. So I just kept, you know, persisting.
Yeah. And I will say the bathrooms are cleaner now that you own it than the previous era that I recall.
Yes, even the girls peed outside before.
Wow.
I think people definitely like peeing inside. So
yeah, it's I'm mostly fond of it. Yeah. Maybe you could just talk about a little bit about what you know of the history of the Lager Bar, because you know, there was a time when that name was a little bit more literal than it is now. I assume that it was almost exclusively packed with lagers, you know, not so much now that timber is not a big a thing in Humboldt, but like, you know, just, yeah, just like an overview of the history of that bar.
Well, the bar was established in 1889. The sign says 1899, but history has been uncovered that predates another 10 years or so. And it predates the city by about 30 years. So, yeah, there used to be, I forget how many mills in Blue Lake, but quite a few, five or so, and Corbell as well. And the Lager Bar was open all day and through the night as well. And the one couple that really made it the Lager Bar, I think they actually changed the name to the Lager Bar, was Evelyn and Emmanuel. And they used to cash checks there. And so the loggers would just come and it was a one-stop shop. Previously to that, it was a guy named Dorsey Miller who owned it. And his father had a shoe repair shop on the side where the little nook area is. And so he had his own entrance so the loggers could sit at the bar and drink their beer while his father repaired the shoes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So in the times that you know, I've written about the Lager Bar over the years, I often refer to it as Blue Lake's church, you know, and I think I've been in every bar in Humboldt County at one time or another. I can safely say there's no warmer embrace than the lager on a Saturday night. So I'm going to ask you what's probably an unanswerable question, and I'll let you struggle with it. Why is the Lager Bar so magical?
Well, I think it's genuinely a historical bar. You can't recreate that, really. And if those walls could talk, I always say, they would tell some stories. I think it's also the bartenders really make the personality of the bar. And I have to say the Lager Bar has some of the top-notch bartenders, Bunny and Ingrid and Yohida. We really had just an excellent team of bartenders that really made everybody feel welcome and comfortable. Yeah. So I would say that's it. But it's really just the memorabilia that's around and on the wall. It really is the town's history. I like to refer to the bar as a drinking museum.
Can you attribute, like, so right across the street, obviously, is Del Arte, and I imagine that a bit of your clientele are the students and staff over there, and they tend to be, you know, a colorful, theatrical, weird bunch. Like, is there something about the clientele and you know, other than Del Arte too, that you think brings kind of a spirit to the bar that is unique?
I do. I think that Del Arte is actually, you know, it depends on the class. Some classes they keep so busy that we never see them. And other years, we can't get rid of them. So so it really depends. But like during the Mad River Festival in the summer, we definitely get a lot of overflow from their shows and performers afterwards and that type of thing. And the students actually have an assignment where they have to schedule a show each class and perform in the bar and do all their promo and stuff. So that's been I used to work at Del Arte, so I love the organization and I really love the people that go there, and it's a real asset to our community. And it's also, you know, it's a really diverse community in the sense that we have Del Arte and the old school Blue Lakers. And a lot of the people who have just been attracted to Blue Lake, I think because of its small town quaintness, but it's a real, I think everybody feels an ownership to their neighborhood bar, and it is smack in the middle of the neighborhood, which is, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah, man, I didn't know that as an assignment, Del Arte students had to perform in the Lager Bar like that. I wish I would have known, because I'm sure that would be an odd spectacle. You know, it's kind of tight quarters in there. I can't imagine what a Del Arte student would do confronted with, you know, all these grizzled lager types as an audience. It's a nice collision of peoples in there.
Yeah, it's some of my favorite nights when they performed. It's just been within the last 5 years or so that they've been doing that. So each class, they're usually pretty musical, so they'll come and perform some music, and it just as a way to learn how to put themselves out there and book a show and do the promotion and that type of thing. And it was one of the funnest nights because everybody associated with Del Arte would always come and just pack the place out, and it's just a good time.
Yeah. So I didn't know that you used to work at Del Arte. What did you do over there?
I was an assistant fundraiser.
Nice.
Raised money for the Mad River Festival and tried to get sponsors for the Christmas show and that type of thing. Worked with Michael Fields.
Do you still live around the corner from the bar?
Yes. When this all started, I rented out my house, and so I just got back to my house just this last week for the first time in a year.
Oh, so you went during COVID, you rented out your house as though you're...
I did. I ended up going back to the East Coast and then riding my bicycle across the country.
Whoa. Wow. That's amazing. Well... Okay. We need to hear a little bit more about that. How long of a journey how long did that take you?
I started in Maine on the day after Labor Day, and I got back to Humboldt on the 14th of December. So like just over 3 months.
Wow. Wow.
And what route did you take?
I started in Bar Harbor, Maine, and I went down the Eastern Seaboard to San Augustine, Florida, including like the Outer Banks and some of the barrier islands off of Georgia and South Carolina. And then I stayed along the Gulf of Mexico and then went up through New Orleans and across Texas and Texas and Texas and Texas, and then got to San Diego and then rode up Highway 1.
Wow. And you just stayed in hotels along the way or camp? I mean,
I mostly camped, actually. Yeah. And I just was pretty self-supported. And then there's another website called Warm Showers where cyclists host other cyclists. So I did a little bit of that. And towards the end, I did more motels and hotels or sort of thing, because all the campgrounds were starting to close.
Right.
So when I left, the country was all yellow tier. And when I came back, it was all purple. Really, what inspired the trip was my, I had some family back east that had some medical stuff. So I went back and stayed there for a bit and quarantined there until I tested negative, and then started the trip from there. Wow. But it was a real opportunity. So I'm glad I had the time.
Yeah.
When the bar is open, no way I would have had that kind of leisure.
Sure.
At all.
Yeah. It's a good way to make the most of it. But so, but I thought we could talk a little bit about that, you know, about COVID and how it's affected the bar. It's been almost exactly a year now since Humboldt was really hit by this pandemic and the shelter in place orders first came down. And, I think it was, I remember it being really interesting and unfortunate timing for the bars, especially because it was right before one of the biggest drinking days of the year, St. Patrick's Day, which now we're coming up on again. And, you know, I just thought that maybe you could walk us through a little bit, you know, what that experience was like of closing down and just, you know, a little bit about how this year has been without the Lager Bar.
Well, at first my thoughts were just keeping everyone employed, And a couple of weeks in, it was just obvious that it was not going to be possible to keep everybody on the payroll and try and, you know, maintain it without the doors being open. So so I had 150 pounds of corned beef, kegs and kegs of beer that luckily I could return the full ones that I were recently purchased. And I just returned as much stuff as I could. I ended all the services. I ended our garbage service. I ended our internet. I just ended everything because I just did not know how long it was going to go. And then luckily we got, just started applying for grants and relief money and got the first round of the PPP, which enabled me to pay all my bills in advance so that I could go on this bike trip. And, so it was just, you know, just a matter of, I felt like it was a bit of financial jujitsu and really just trying to get my act together and just kept doing, putting one foot in front of the other so I wouldn't, you know, look too far ahead and get panicked. And but I knew that, like, here's a bar that's been open for 130 years and I just did not want it to die on my watch, which, you know, knock on wood, so far so good. So we're really looking forward to reopening and and then selling.
Right. Well, we were gonna get to that. Is this the first time that the lager has had to be closed really in that time that you're aware of? I mean, I'm sure you don't know everything that's happened over the last 130 years, but
It's actually one of California's oldest continuously running bars. And a lot of the bars on Highway 49, for example, that are the oldest continuously running, but many of them burned down or just something happened over the years. But this, for the lager bar, this is the first time it's had to close for this amount of time that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about, you know, looking forward to reopening, what are your plans moving forward here? Do you have any prospective reopening date in mind? Or
I took the bar off the market and have just been doing some work to the bar right now. So we put in new front doors and I'm trying to get a expand the outdoor space. So I'm trying to get a parklet built out in the front, so when we do reopen, we have enough capacity to open safely.
Nice. Yeah.
And the parklet hopefully will be, we reopen that door on the side that had been covered up by the old panel siding. And so it's going through the approval process right now with the city. Hopefully we'll have enough, we'll be open to have that approved and started to be built anytime now. And so once that's done, we'll have a nice big outdoor space right on the Annie Mary Rail Trail. And I plan to open and run it for, if anybody knows anybody, meantime, you know.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that. Yeah. Are you looking to buy a bar, Andrew?
I got my hands full.
It sounds like a dream. I mean, as much as I think most of us have a fantasy of it somewhere. I mean, it sounds wonderful. I love that.
I should say this. I should say this. I know plenty of people who would love to buy the lager bar and have even talked about a dream of owning the lager bar. These people have no money though. And that
well, you said that you took it off of the market, at least it's temporarily. Why was that? I mean, I assume that you had some interest.
It became pretty clear. I mean, basically I tried to sell it before COVID just via word of mouth and said to myself, oh, if it doesn't sell by word of mouth by March, I'll put it on the market. So I put it on the market in March and then COVID. And so no one is going to buy a bar that they can't open.
Yeah,
and that became obvious. There was a lot of interest, but, you know, limited offers. And so I just figured, okay, I tried it. It's kind of a ridiculous time to let it sit out there. And so I just took it off the market and decided to put that parklet in if I can, and try and make some more improvements to it and make it more of a place where there's, we'll probably put another third capacity on it once we get that outdoor seating. And so
we talked a little bit about, Blue Lake or the Lager Bar being Blue Lakes Church, and every church needs music. And I think over the decades, I'd argue the Lager Bar has earned its reputation of being one of the best places in Humboldt to see live music. This, despite the fact that you don't have a stage or a built-in sound system necessarily, but there's just something about being in the Lager Bar, in a Lager Bar sweat pit that is, super inviting. Maybe not so much in COVID times, but we'll look past that for now. Can you describe the experience of seeing a band at the Lager?
Well, I have to say that the Rubbernecker days were some of my favorite memories, where the whole floor is just going up and down and everybody shoulder to shoulder. And I think part of the charm of seeing a band at the Lager Bar, or even for the bands, is that everybody is so up close and there is no separation of the stage, and you can really feel like the enjoyment is not just the crowd looking up at the band. It's a shared experience for sure.
It's like
the Rubbernecker days that were.
And I went to a couple Rubbernecker shows at the Lager, and it occurs to me that it brings out a different kind of performance from somebody to be in that close of proximity with their audience. Like there's not this divide between stage and audience. Like, you end a song and, here's a person 3 feet from your face, waiting for you to, tune your guitar or whatever. There's no illusion there. Like, it makes a band be humble, or I don't know.
It's one of my favorite parts is the live music venue, because it really does. It brings, every band brings their own crowd too. So it's usually, every night is a little different.
Yeah.
And tried to have a little something for everyone. So
you mentioned the Mad River Festival and things like that too. I think of Blue Lake as, for its size, usually being a pretty hopping town. There's a lot of festivals, and with Del Arte normally in session. I'm just wondering what the kind of feeling over in Blue Lake has been lately. How do you feel like the city has been dealing with this pandemic?
I think the city's been doing a good job. I mean, luckily we have a lot of outdoor space, a lot of fishermen in the river. Everybody in Blue Lake seems to have a dog and does the dog loop. And, everybody's been potting and being super careful. The brewery, Mad River Brewery, has been doing an excellent job with extending their outdoor area and having food a few times a week. And, they have great beer. Jewel Distillery has been doing pickup and services outside their distillery, and they make a great product. And the casino has been, open and closed a little bit. But in the meantime, during COVID, the Annie Mary Trail has been built through town. We have, bocce courts and horseshoes and horse arena. We definitely have enough outdoor activities for everybody to, we have a new dog park. There's a lot of effort going into the Powers Creek district down the road. So I think there's going to be some more housing developed there and some businesses that are going to be going down in there. And then somebody just bought the Antique Emporium across the street. So hopefully there'll be even more to look forward to pretty soon in Blue Lake.
Wow. That's great. I was going to ask you about an update on the Annie and Mary rail trail, but you told me it's already complete, Blue Lake's portion of it, right? Which this is ultimately going to be a trail that hopefully connects Blue Lake to Arcata, right?
or we like to say Arcata to Blue Lake.
But. Oh, excuse me. Right. Because who, nobody wants to go from Blue Lake to Arcata. Of course, it's the Blue Lake is the, the draw. Yes.
And the draw ends right at the bar. So it's perfect. So I think that there's Caltrans or there's more, the county somehow is applying for more funding to hopefully expand on what trail has been developed. And also it's hopefully going to be part of the Great Redwood Trail that Mike McGuire has been proposing. And
yes,
so it's exciting. Hopefully we'll be able to ride from Blue Lake down to the Bay Area soon.
I was just going to ask about another Blue Lake city project that we had written about a while back, and I was wondering what the status was of the town square that they were also trying to build there.
Well, the town square, I believe, has been purchased. There's some trees, new trees planted, and the grass is growing, and as far as I know, there's a new coffee shop across the street from it, and I think the coffee shop might have inspired the town square. I'm not sure which came first. Oh. But it's right across from the post office, and I'm excited to see what they do with it. Yeah.
It's very good of you to act as a Blue Lake ambassador. I know that we're asking you things that are unlogger related, and you're kindly stepping in to give us answers.
You know, I do feel like everybody in Blue Lake's an ambassador for Blue Lake.
Yeah.
The one thing that's nice about living here is everybody seems to like living here. So I think that's what makes the town so great.
Yeah. I lived there for a little while when I was a kid, and I have big dreams of moving back. I'm trying to sell my partner on it, because I've always kind of fantasized about living back in Blue Lake someday. I just think it's a wonderful town. It's one of our gems in Humboldt. And maybe when the trail, when there's a way, he just really loves Arcata. I don't know. He works Arcata. So maybe once the trail is complete.
There's something about it. I don't know if it's 10 degrees warmer, or again, the colorful culture, it overachieves culturally despite its small size. Yeah, the Blue Lake magic has drawn many. And I was wondering, like, you must have, or maybe you don't, but I'll put you on the spot. Like, the big dumb, you know, Blue Lake joke is there's no actual Blue Lake in Blue Lake. Do you have a witty, adorable answer for wise asses that come to the bar and ask you where the lake is?
Well, there is the sewage treatment plant, which Blue Lakers call Poo Lake.
Poo Lake. Okay. That works.
That's as close as you'll get. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about one person that associated with the lager bar that we lost last year. And that would, of course, be Brenda, who's last name I never even knew, because to me and countless others, she was just Brenda. As a longtime bartender there at the Lager Bar, I think predating the time that you owned it. But she was just kind of a famous, beloved figure. There was a local band who named themselves after her. I don't know, like, did you have a relationship with Brenda? Did you know her get to know her that well?
I do know Brenda quite. I did know Brenda quite well. Yes, she was actually who I was paying every month for the Lager Bar, and she inherited it from the previous owner after he passed away. So she was a very understated character, very sweet, and well missed.
Yeah,
well loved and much missed.
Yeah. So when you bought the bar, and I want to say that was almost 10 years ago now, yeah?
Eight and a half,
okay. And did you, I mean, like, and it had fallen, you know, into a state of somewhat disrepair, and like you remodeled it. And I remember, you know, going to the grand opening and just walking in there and being, you know, like taken aback, like, wow, you really updated it while at the same time preserving the spirit of it. I mean, and I think I recall, like, you know, you had like 100 or so volunteers that pitched in to you know, kind of spruce up the lager bar. How important was it for you to keep the lager bar that people knew and loved while at the same time bringing it, you know, new life?
Well, a lot of what we did was, instead of refurbishing it, we took off all the old refurbishings and restored it down to the original wood floor. And we pulled off plaster from the wall and exposed the old wainscoting. And we, had to update all the plumbing and electrical and totally gutted the bathrooms back to the bathrooms. But that was one of the biggest improvements. And the whole, one third of the building had to be completely rebuilt just floors were replaced and everything was just rotting. The previous owner had owned it for 20 years and bragged that he only put in $20 and it showed. The ice box was the original wood ice box that came, you know, that the bar had. It had a place where the old, you know, ice used to be in the floor and chipped away for the drinks. So, that was all because the health codes now require that you put like that hard melamine type of stuff on top of the wood. It totally rotted out the whole walk-in. And so we definitely had some surprises on things we didn't prepare to address. But
well, I'd say, yeah, you have been, as I said, like a good steward of that, you know, beloved institution. Before we let you go, I wanted to just ask a little bit more about this bike trip that you took across the country. You know, it's like you crossed the country on a bike during the middle of this pandemic, and I'm just wondering, like, how that felt. You know, like, what did you see out there that surprised you, or, you know, scared you, or was heartening, or like, what was that trip like?
Well, I would say overall, I've never felt so free in my whole entire life. Just to be able to go where I wanted to go and stop when I wanted to stop and follow my own curiosities. And mostly for such a divisive time in our country, and it was pre-election, I started out to, you know, the 2 months leading up to the election was very heated, and going through all sorts of different communities was really interesting. And then during a, you know, pandemic, I probably spent a lot more time alone on my bicycle than I would have if I were in Blue Lake. So it was just a really interesting time to go across the country. And one thing I really love about bike touring is that you're really vulnerable out there. And mostly what I find is that people really want to be helpful and are very kind. And it really restored my faith in humanity at a time where our country never seemed more divided.
Do you remember what town you were in on election day?
I was outside of Fredericksburg, Texas, when Joe Biden was called for president on a very small farm road, very in the, you know, hill country-ish of Texas. And it was funny because, you know, I didn't have, a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on or something, but people must assume that because you're on a bicycle, you must be a socialist. And, you know, there were some trucks that went by me with their finger out the window, or, you know, coming a little too close for comfort. You know, went into Fredericksburg, Texas, and stayed at a warm showers place.
Yeah.
And then I went to try and find the acceptance speech, and so I'm playing somewhere in town, and not a place had it on. And so... telling.
Yeah.
But it was everywhere else people were dancing in the streets, and not in Texas.
yeah that must have felt so good. I don't know, just like I I felt a joy that day that I had not felt in a while. And so for you to be out there just by yourself in the middle of somewhere strange and unfamiliar, that's so interesting to me.
Yeah, it was interesting to me too. But it was a good day.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It was, any day I'm on my bike is a good day.
Yeah. Any dreams to do something like that again? Do you have your next big trip already?
Yeah, I hope once the bar sells, I can. I want to take my bicycle back over to Europe and just do a one-way ticket over there and see where I end up.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Kate, that's pretty much we had planned to talk about. But is there any kind of message you'd want to put out to the Lager Bar faithful or Humboldt County at large?
Well, I just hope, Andrew, that you'll come and play the piano on opening night when we reopen.
Oh. Well, I kind of have to now, Kate.
Whoa. Oh, I didn't know that this was something that you had done before.
I have closed down the lager a few times, just screaming Elton John songs to whoever will listen. And Kate has kindly encouraged it over the years. She's probably the only one that has done that.
We'd love to have you back. We'd love to headline you.
Oh well. Oh. Okay. Thank you, Kate. Well, cool. Well, thanks for enduring the many technical glitches that we did. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I hope you get to go to Europe soon and ride your bike down an Alp.
Thanks for the Lager Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you and to learn a little bit more.
We'll see you at the bar soon, hopefully.
All right, Kate.
We hope.
All right, bye.
All right, see you later.
Take care.
All right, there it is. We'd like to thank Kate Martin for taking some time to sit in front of a screen with us. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll all be kicking back some cold ones at the Lager Bar, and sounds like I have to tickle the ivories.
It sounds like you've got opening gig.
What is the appropriate song to play after a year pandemic?
Shit.
I just did the dumbest thing I can think of is just the welcome back. But I don't want to play that.
I feel like The Long and Winding Road.
Okay, I know that one.
I figured that you must know that one.
It's in the key of E flat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for this. Excited to be able to go back to the Lager Bar.
That leads to the Lager Bar's new door.
Exactly. Okay. And definitely we hope to see all of you there soon.
All right. Until then, wear your mask, and we'll see you next week for more Humboldt Holding Out. Bye, Steph.
Bye.